Thank you, Lisa. Luke chapter 2, we saw last week this man Simeon. The Lord actually gives us quite a bit of information about Simeon and who he was, that he was an older gentleman. God calls him righteous and devout. Righteous is how God viewed him. Devout is how he viewed God. And that he was looking for the consolation of Israel, and that tells us how he viewed God's word, that he understood God's promises, had read them and believed them, and was expecting them, hoping for them. He was looking for the consolation, the promises that God had made of a Messiah, and God told him by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. The Holy Spirit brings him to the temple on a particular day. There are lots of little boy babies in and out of the temple every day because of the things that God's word had said about little boy babies coming to the temple on the eighth day of their life. But this one particular baby boy is different. As Simeon notices him right away, and the Holy Spirit inside him leads him to go, and he picks the child up and he says, with just this baby boy in his arms, he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. We noticed last week that nothing about Israel's circumstances had changed. No event, no action had been taken. Israel was that day and the day after just as it had been the day before, that Simeon saw nothing other than this baby boy. But yet, by seeing Jesus, he had seen God's salvation. That our salvation is not an event, but it is a person. Our salvation is Christ. Now, I want to take just a minute, because I did not necessarily flesh this out much last week, but I want to take just a minute here this morning. When I say that salvation is an event, is not an event, it's a person, we see that in Simeon here. I know when I say that, that salvation for us was accomplished on the cross, and that's true, and that is an event, that Christ did that finished work, that His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave is a completed work that accomplished salvation for us. And so we look back on that, and by faith we trust that what Christ did once for all is enough. And that's true. That's the message of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose to give us new life. But we trust that by faith, not by sight. We have not seen our salvation completed yet. We're not looking at Christ face to face. We haven't seen the Lord, our Heavenly Father. We haven't heard Him say, enter into the joy of your reward. We haven't heard Him say that yet. We haven't seen Him face to face. And so in a sense, our salvation, though the truth of it was accomplished at the cross, and we know that, we still believe it by faith and not by sight, right? And so what we have is we have the person of Christ. That our trust is in Christ. Our trust is not in that we have seen all that will take place yet, because we haven't seen that yet. Our salvation is not, our trust in our salvation is not in the fact that everything has happened that we are expecting to happen. Our salvation, our trust, is in the fact that we have Jesus. Our salvation is a person and not an event. That means that our lives, there are things in our circumstances that we may be asking the Lord for and that we may be hoping, but yet our salvation is not found in the accomplishment of those things that we're asking the Lord for. Our hope, our joy, our salvation, our life, and we're going to see more of this here in just a minute, is found just in the fact that Christ is with us. That we don't need the accomplishment and the event to happen in order for comfort and joy and hope to be ours. Because we have Christ with us. I mentioned Isaiah chapter 12. If you were to go back to Isaiah chapter 12, you will hear Isaiah say, the Lord has become my strength and my refuge. The Lord is my salvation. His salvation, his hope, his strength, his refuge was found not in the defeat of Israel's enemies, but in the presence of Christ. And with Christ with us, we know, even though it hasn't happened yet, we're safe. And so Simeon is able to say, without seeing any events take place, just the presence of this baby, my eyes have seen your salvation. Because we have Christ and what he has done for us, we can trust him. And we can have comfort and joy and hope in him, regardless of what our circumstances are. Simeon's going to share some other things with his parents and with us, some truth that we need to hear. And let me tell you what it is that we're going to hear. Simeon is not just identifying who Christ is, that he is our salvation, but Simeon is giving his parents, because the Holy Spirit preserved this passage, he's giving us a description of the significance of who Christ is and what he would accomplish. In fact, what God's plan for his son would be. He says to his mother, and I want you to look down in verse 34. Simeon blessed his parents and said to his mother Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed." God's plan for this child would include whatever he is about to say. God's plan for sending his son, the Messiah, the Lord's Christ, would mean this. And he says that this child was appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel. Now, that's an interesting statement, that this baby Jesus, this child, who Simeon has already identified as the Lord's Christ, and the Holy Spirit has already helped us see that this child is our salvation, that this child would mean the rise of many in Israel and the fall of many in Israel, that who they recognized and trusted him to be would determine who rises and who falls. Do you see that? What Simeon is saying, and really what the Holy Spirit is saying through Simeon, is that this child and who he would grow to be, that Christ, that our Savior Jesus, that he is himself the great divider of all mankind. That those who will rise and those who will fall will rise because they recognize and trust Christ as their salvation. And those who will fall because they do not recognize and do not trust Christ as their salvation. That Jesus is the great divider of all humanity. And in reality, globally, there really are only two kinds of people. There really are only two classes, two distinctions of people. And it has nothing to do with rich or poor, with well-educated or illiterate. It has nothing to do with employed or unemployed. It has nothing to do with opportunities or impoverished. It has nothing to do with nationalities. It has nothing to do with anything natural to mankind. Those are really not true distinctions of men. The only distinction that really matters, and the truest distinction of all men, is what you do with Christ. Whether you recognize and trust Christ as your Savior or whether you miss and don't trust Christ as your Savior. That is the true divider of all men. There really are only two classes of men, those who recognize and trust Christ and those who don't. And I want you to notice these two words, because it says that He is appointed for the fall and the rise of many. That word rise, it actually is the word resurrection. It is the word for life. To rise, biblically, within the passage, to rise means those who have been given life. That those who have life, true life, have it only because of Christ and their trust in Him. And those who fall, meaning those who don't have life, will fall only because their lack of trust in Christ. Life is found in Christ and Him alone. He is the only one who can give it. You can find it nowhere else. Christ Himself is the great divider of all mankind. Let me give you an example. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was an up-and-coming Jewish scholar and an up-and-coming Sanhedrin operative. In fact, he was probably the star of the teacher Gamaliel within the Jewish leadership of the day. A zealous, very capable. But yet the only reason that the Apostle Paul had life at all was not because of his education. It was not because of his intellect. All of that was just death to him. But the Apostle Paul had life only because of Christ. King Agrippa, if you go to Acts, the Apostle Paul is imprisoned by King Agrippa, who is handed Paul from a man named Festus. Paul talks with King Agrippa on a number of occasions, and Scripture tells us that King Agrippa, who was a king and all that goes along with it, well respected in the Roman Empire, had clout even with Caesar, who was the Roman emperor. All that went with it, Caesar, Agrippa, almost persuaded, but not quite, and he fell. See, life is found in Christ and nowhere else. Life is found in Christ. He is the great divider of all men. He is what makes the one true distinction of all men. Now let me take this one step farther. Because when Simeon says that Christ is appointed for the fall and rise of many, and it is based on our relationship to Christ, whether we rise or fall or not, I want us to stop right there and think about that for just a second. What that means is that our life, if we rise, we will rise. We will have life. Jesus said that He came to give us life and have it abundantly. That if we rise and have abundant life, it is because we have Christ and are following Him and trusting Him. If we rise and have life at all, it is because of Christ and nothing else. And so what that means is that if we have Christ, it does not matter what happens in 2020. 2020 may be a prosperous year, but it may not be. 2020 may be filled with joy and happiness and blessing, but it may very well be filled with pain. We don't know what the future holds. But you know what? Our life abundant life is not dependent on what comes tomorrow. Our life, abundant life, is only found in who we already have. And that's Christ. And so if Christ is the divider, do you see? If Christ is the divider, then life, abundance, joy, comfort, peace, that is not found in our circumstances. All of that is found in Christ. The Apostle Paul, I just used him as an illustration of falling and rising, and certainly it is that the Apostle Paul had life because of Christ. But do you know what is also true of the Apostle Paul? He probably suffered as much or more than any Christian has in 2,000 years of Christian history. His life was full of suffering, yet he wrote Philippians, a book on joy. Yet he was able to say in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, but yet I live. His life had nothing to do with his circumstances, his physical circumstances. His life was found in Christ. I want us to see, this really is what Simeon is pointing out here, that the great divider of all mankind is Christ, and the division of what is life, what is true life, that's found in Christ. And so if I am following Christ, if I am trusting, looking to Christ, He is my salvation. If I am looking at Christ, then I can walk through whatever it is that 2020 holds. And be sure as the world that I am living the abundant life because I am following Christ. And Christ is the one who defines life. Do you guys see that? The other half of that, though, is that He is appointed for the fall of many. And that without Christ, it doesn't matter how well things are going. Without Christ, there is no life. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit anticipates this because He says, not only is Christ appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, but yet He is a sign to be opposed. Now, I want you to stop for just a second. I want you to look at that phrase right there. What is a sign? What is a sign? A sign is something that can be seen that points to a piece of information or to a direction. A sign is a visible communicator of information. Is that not what a sign is? I mean, boil it down to it. A road sign is a visible communicator of information that you need to take the right exit. A stop sign communicates some information visibly that you need to know what you need to do in terms of the gas pedal or the brake pedal. Jesus is a sign. Jesus is God's sign. He is visibly communicating information about God's salvation of His people. But yet He would be a sign to be opposed. Why in the world would a sign of salvation, a visible communication of salvation, be opposed? I want you to think for just a minute what it means that Jesus is the distinction between those who would rise and fall. Jesus is the distinction between life and death. If Jesus is the distinction between life and death, then Jesus gets to determine what my life needs to be. And maybe Jesus's path for my life is not what I want my path for my life to be. Now that's a reason to oppose him. I don't want the path of my life to be a path of sacrifice. I don't want to let go of this. I don't want him to call me away from this. I don't want him to display how powerful he is and how inadequate I am. I don't really want that. I don't want him to display his grace in my life by showing me how sinful I really am by nature. I would rather have a little say in the matter myself. But see, if Christ is life, then what that means is Christ is life. And following Christ is life. And trusting Christ is life. And serving Christ is life. And not my desires and plans and dreams and wishes and abilities and efforts. And so you have the Pharisees. Beginning with John the Baptist. What is John the Baptist doing? He's making a way for Jesus by doing what? By calling the nation to repent. And many of them were going out to be baptized as an indication of their repentance, that they had sinned and needed to be washed. But the Pharisees, what did they say? Well, why do I need to go out and be baptized? Why do I need to be washed? I'm doing pretty good. Who are you to tell me that I need to be baptized? But see, if Christ is your life, then that's going to force you to admit, I'm not that great. Agrippa, well, I'm the king. I don't need another king over me. I am the king. I don't necessarily want Jesus to tell me what to do. I tell other people what to do. Christ is your life. And he calls the shots. He's the one who makes the plans. It's his desire that we want. But I kind of have some plans of my own. I got some desires of my own. I have some dreams I've had since I was a child. I kind of want to see those plans and dreams played out. And see, if Christ is your life, all of that has to fall by the wayside. Because Jesus is life. And anything other than Jesus is death. And so he would be a sign to be opposed. Why? Because it's natural for us. I don't want to find life in Christ. I want to kind of determine what life I like. I want to be the one to shape my own life. But that's not why he came. He is the great divide between life and death, and rising and falling. It's Jesus. The sign to be opposed, Simeon gives Mary a little indication that it's going to hurt her too, because eventually what they're going to do with him is kill him. And his mother is going to have to watch that. No mother would choose that. But that was the plan. So even in that, he is life. But what that meant for Mary and for the Apostle Paul and for Peter and for every disciple and for everyone who trusts Christ, what that meant is sacrifice. There's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be pain in the offering. But life in Christ. But life as we follow Him. Do you guys see this? It does not matter what 2020 holds. We have Christ. And our joy and our comfort and our peace, in fact, our life for 2020 is found in our trust in Christ as our Savior. And with Him, man, let come what may, I've got Him. And He's all I need. One more piece that Simeon gives, and it is the most sober of all. Not only is Christ going to be the distinction of those who rise and those who fall, not only is He going to be a sign that will be opposed, but the end result of who He is? Verse 35. To the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The end result of Christ being the great distinction between life and death. The end result of Christ being a sign, visible sign, that is going to be opposed. The end result of that is that thoughts inside of hearts that are not visible to us will be made visible. That there are hearts and what looks like hearts who know Him. Hearts that say, oh yes, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. He died for my sins. But yet don't know Him. And you realize, wait a minute, there is the voice that says, I trust Jesus, but yet there is the life that has nothing of Jesus. And you realize, there are thoughts there that are being revealed. Or there are those who live lives that we would say look like failure to us. Maybe lives that have been perhaps even destroyed by some sin, and they are still living the consequences of sin, but that sin has been confessed. That sin has been brought to the Lord and there is trust in Christ. And we would say that life is a failure, but yet there is life there. We would say a life that's being lived maybe even in poverty, or a life that has had some hard knocks and dreams have not been realized and hopes have been dashed, but yet there is life there. See, He is not just the distinction of those who rise and those who fall, but Christ is the great revealer of what is actually in our hearts. That our relationship with Him and nothing else, that who He is to us and nothing else, reveals the nature of what is in our hearts. That we can say all of the things that we know are right to say. We can do all of the things that we think are right to do. This is who the Pharisees were. And everything on the outside is looking as it should be. But yet in our hearts, we don't know Christ. We're far from Him. And He Himself will reveal that. There is a dependence on my own ability. There is a desire to follow my own way. There is a neglect of His strength and His enabling and His leadership and His guidance and His instruction. And maybe everything we were talking about this morning in Sunday school, we were talking, it may even, my plans, my efforts, my abilities, they may even seem to work because my dreams get fulfilled and it seems great. But yet there's no life there. Christ is the revealer of what's really going on inside. Here's what I think we need to walk away from. It's the first Sunday of a new year. And this new year will be determined only by one thing. It will be determined only by who Christ is in my heart and yours. And if we recognize Christ for who He is and trust Him, who He really is, this new year, there will be life, regardless of the circumstances. It may be circumstantially, it may look terrible, but yet there is life and joy and comfort and peace, and that will be revealed. But this new year may have all of the right ideas and all of the effort and all of the ability, but yet if there is not Christ, even though maybe everything falls into place the way we had hoped it to be, but if there is not Christ, no life. In what aspect? All of the world and all of our hearts and all of our lives, there is one distinction, and it is Christ and Him alone. What you do with Christ is the great divider for it all. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. It's Jesus. Father, God, I thank You for sending Your Son. And I thank You that He is the great distinction, that it is Him and not my own efforts, my own abilities, my own plans, my own dreams, but it is Him, and we can look to Him and find life in what He has accomplished. Thank You for that, Father. God, I pray for each heart here. God, I pray that each of us individually, that we would find life in Christ and look for it nowhere else. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And it may be that you are here this morning and you have been looking for life in all sorts of places, and you have been attempting to do the right thing. And you have had lots of ideas and lots of plans that you have attempted to accomplish, even good ones. And you have realized here and now this morning that all of your efforts are not good enough. Because the Bible says that all of us have fallen short of God's glory. The way that He created us to be, we fall far short of that. That all of us have sinned. And it is now here, right here, this morning, that you realize, wait a minute. I am not good enough. I need Christ, who died to take my place and pay my debt for the sin that I have committed, and who rose from the grave that I might have new life. You need Jesus to give you life. And if you have never trusted Him like that, I pray that you would this morning. Brothers and sisters, maybe it is that your idea of life has had all sorts of paths, and while you have looked to Christ as the Savior of your soul, now you need to look to Him as the source of life itself. And your greatest desire now for 2020 is not all of this other stuff, but your greatest desire for the new year is simply to know and love and trust Christ more, and there find life, all the life that you've ever desired. And maybe it is that there are some things in your life that you know you've been doing on your own. It may be sin, it may be some sin that you need to confess this morning that you know is not pleasing to the Lord, but maybe it is simply just a neglect. The Lord has not been your greatest desire. You've been pursuing all sorts of other desires, and you need to realize that that itself is sin. Maybe it is this morning you're on the edge of a new year and you have no idea what the new year holds, and there is fear and worry and apprehension. And maybe this morning you need to let the Lord fill you with comfort and with joy simply because He's with you and He loves you. And He gave His Son so that you might have life. Whatever it is that the Lord is doing in your heart this morning, let Him do it. Let's stand and sing.